Unit 10. People and Opinions. Reading 2.
The Contradictions of Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie is best known today as a philanthropist who, in his later years, devoted much of his attention to the pursuit of world peace. He created and funded thousands of libraries, cultural centers, educational programs, and music halls. Yet, he is the same man who drastically reduced his workers' wages and crushed their union. Carnegie's story is often told as a rags-to-riches tale, that of a man who rose from the position of lowly bobbin boy in a loom factory to become the richest man in the world. Born on November 20, 1835 in Dunfermline, Scotland, young Andrew was expected to become a weaver in the textile trade like his father and grandfather before him. His father William, grandfather Tom, and uncle Tom Jr. were Scottish radicals who believed in political and economic equality. Life in Dunfermline changed drastically in 1848, when the traditional craft of hand loom weaving was eradicated by the advent of mechanized factory looms. The Carnegies, who no longer had a trade, learned the meaning of poverty. It was Andrew's mother, Margaret, who supported the family by opening a small shop. And it was Margaret who, worried for her family's survival, borrowed the money to immigrate to the United States, to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where two of her sisters lived. At age 13, Andrew Carnegie began earning $1.20 a week as a bobbin boy in the cotton factory where his father worked. At 16, he got his big break when he became the third person in the U.S. to be able to decode telegraphs by ear, as opposed to reading the transcribed dots and dashes. This invaluable skill earned him the incredible salary of $25 a month. He worked his way up in the railroad business, and by the time of the Civil War, he was working in the offices of President Lincoln, helping rebuild damaged railroad and telegraph lines. Carnegie has been credited with the ability to anticipate future changes and to capitalize on them. Some of the early ventures that brought Carnegie resounding success were sleeper cars for long-distance passenger trains, railroad bridge construction, and investment in oil fields, which he insisted would be of great importance in the future. He also had a hand in many other important developments in business and industry, including cost accounting, which takes each phase of production into calculation. Already a millionaire in 1872, Carnegie went to London to learn about the new methods of refining steel developed by Henry Bessemer. Returning to the U.S., Carnegie built a million-dollar steel plant, aided by high U.S. tariffs which eliminated foreign competition. Carnegie, by 1880, was making $1.5 million in profits each year. As one of the industrial leaders of his day, Carnegie was unusual in that he championed workers' rights and publicly supported trade unions. It is often said that he believed in the decency and nobility of the common man. And yet, the same man ruthlessly kept his own plant costs low, stating that if one watched costs, the profits would take care of themselves. His steelworkers worked long hours for little pay. In 1892, during a strike at his Homestead, Pennsylvania plant, manager Henry Clay Frick hired Pinkerton thugs to frighten striking workers. Although in Europe at the time, Carnegie apparently supported Frick's decision. This episode, in which many lost their lives, tarnished Carnegie's reputation and reportedly haunted him throughout the rest of his life. Andrew Carnegie died in Massachusetts on August 11, 1919. By then, he had given away more than $350 million to various charitable organizations and foundations throughout the world. All told, Carnegie was responsible for the establishment of 2,509 libraries, as well as numerous educational and cultural endowments and institutions. Was his generosity attributable to his lifelong conviction that the wealthy few have a responsibility to foster a democratic society, or to the hope that donating his wealth would assuage the more ignoble means by which some of it was acquired? Perhaps we may best understand Andrew Carnegie as a man of convictions and of contradictions.